Blog Talk Radio.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
There it is. Hit it, Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Scoop Slam Wrestling Radio. This is your host, Big Mike, and we got the one, the only, the legend, Favi Chulo, and producer. What's going on, Favi?
Dude, please, for the people listening to us, can you please explain to them what happened? Because it wasn't us. It was Blog Talk. We had so much stuff ready to go the last, I believe, two shows or whatever, and
wouldn't let us
direct connect. And if you don't direct connect, it's $1 a minute. So we do 90 minutes, so it would have hit you for $90. So we're like, let's go ahead and wait for Blog Talk to fix it up, right?
Exactly. That's not, you know, we're paying them monthly anyway, not paying extra. You hear us, Blog Talk, we're not paying you extra.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, dude, there's so much to talk about, bro. I'm gonna let you handle it right now. But I got tons of stuff to talk about. I know we got PJ Black coming in. I sent him a text that we would get him on about the 7:15 minute or whatever. So we'll get him on to talk about that. And you see up on the Facebook, I showed the picture of we went to. Like I said before, there's very few people that I would, you know, after work, get cleaned up and go down to see. But that was one of them, only because it was him, Taya Valkyrie, Johnny Morrison, and that kid. Hold on. Sparklets, yes. What's that kid's name we were supposed to see with Taya Valkyrie and them?
TJ Watt?
No. And he didn't show up till late. Jack Evans. But dude, they were there for 2 hours.
Wow.
They to be there from 6 to 8, right? So we got there at about 7. The line had died down, and it was cool because we had a chance to talk. And we're like, what happened to Jack? And he's like, don't know. So we left about, it was probably 20 to 8, maybe quarter to 8 or whatever, and we bailed. And then, like, right after, they go, oh, yeah, he came right after you guys left. So he came to do a signing for 15 minutes. But so I want to talk about that. Want to talk about I went to Lucha Libre Alliance over yesterday, which was Sunday, and dude, Rudo Ramp came and just made a complete ass out of himself over there. Guyan was so mad, dude. He whacked, dude, he hit him with that kendo stick and just whacked the mess out of him. And then Saturday, I had California State Athletic Commission, dude. I had the fights for Antonio McKee. So there's a ton of stuff to talk about. And I also would like to talk, Mike, my good friend of wrestling for over 20 years, about the Bronson Reed Gunther match on Monday Night Raw. So that's all I got, Mike, whenever you're ready. But I know you want to do the intro and let the people know how you got in touch with PJ Black or whatever. So go right ahead, my friend.
Oh, it's crazy. I was running a show in Chinatown here in LA, and I saw this guy, and I'm just looking at him, and I'm like, that looks like PJ Black. But, you know, I don't mark out, you know, I don't do that. And I respect people's privacy and their space. So I just kept looking at him, and then I was like, you know what, I just got to go ask. And so I just walk up to him, and I go, hey, you a pro wrestler? He was like, yeah. I go, PJ? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, okay. I said, you know, dude, you know, that's when I became Marky Mark and a Funky Bunch, just talking to him. And told him about, you know, Kenny and I and you starting up PWA and everything. And I started following him on Instagram that night and then asked him would he want to come on the show. And he was like, yeah. And I was just like, dude. You know, this is going to be another conversation after our interview with PJ. This is another conversation we're going to have about you independent wrestlers who think you're don't stink.
Yeah.
Because we have a WWE, a former WWE superstar, who didn't even blink. He was like, yeah, sure. Yeah. And then told me what was the best time for him to do it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you got guys like this that, you know, here we are busting our butt to get these guys, these independent guys, just to do a show. And then you got guys like PJ Black, who's just like, yeah, sure, man, sure. I'm there.
But,
I'll do it.
But what happens,
you know
though,
what I mean?
Mike? Yeah, what happens, though, is then, you know, we try to give these guys, these independent wrestlers, as much shine as possible, you know, because we would like the SoCal scene to do well. And then they're like, oh, bro, I'm busy. You know, I can't do this and I can't do that or whatever. And then we get somebody like PJ Black on, and then they're like, well, we're looking for somebody to wrestle him because we're going to bring him out or whatever. They're like, oh, dude, I was just about to call you, bro. I was just about to call you. You know, then I'm available. And then we give him this. Right?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like the frustration that we would get for trying to get these guys to be involved. And I'm telling you, as of today, I'm not going to be frustrated about that anymore. Because,
uh-huh.
Again, all it took was for me to ask this dude to come on the radio show.
Right. Right,
and he was like, no problem.
And he's not like
no
some
problem.
Guys that go, dude, got to have $50 at least for my time or whatever. They
yeah.
just came on. But
yeah.
where were you? But were you working this last weekend?
Yeah.
Because we
yeah.
had, so much, you know, what the people don't understand is the work that goes on, you know, behind the scenes or whatever. So one of the main reasons why I went to Lucha Libre Alliance on Sunday, because believe me, the work, my shoot job is ridiculous. But Red Spider Rudo was there, and he's got the connections for the rings and stuff like that. So Saturday, when I worked the fights, I saw Eddie, the owner, and we talked. And he's like, dude, I really would like to do this. And he's got a lot of plans, and he really, you know, wants to get a lot of stuff for SoCal Pro Wrestling going. And when I talked to him, we threw some ideas out. And then when I talked to Red Spider the Rule, he threw out some ideas. And I'm like, dude, this is what I'm talking about. The stuff that he came up with was perfect. But, you know, Mike and I meet as often as possible, but we both work. So hopefully we could meet this week or whatever. Because when I tell you off the air what went on, you're going to go, dude, we should have did that a long time ago. And it's cool because Eddie's on board. Antonio McKee wasn't there because he took a fighter out to London, a boxer who won a belt out there. He had a big title fight or whatever, so he wasn't there. So I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I did get a chance to talk to Eddie, the owner, and a bunch of different people who could kind of put a lot of stuff together for this whole thing that we're talking about. So hopefully, Mike, you and I can meet this week, and I can give you the rundown because the dude's going, it's going to blow your mind.
You know what? I can happily tell you I am totally free all week and all weekend. I'm a free bird, brother.
That's good because I am totally not. It is so busy. Or I barely made it today because usually I have notes, you know, stuff that I want to talk about, and I write a bunch of stuff down, you know, so that we can go over it. But I walked in the door and just had to get everything set up and get going or whatever. And my studio, which also is acts as my kitchen, by the way, is I couldn't even get rich the coffee pot because I have all my stuff in front of me, so I haven't had a chance to get any coffee or nothing. But I definitely wanted to get PJ Black on and then talk a little bit about what's happening because I got to tell you about XWW, of course, and I'm already booked for the next show. And I wasn't going to do it, but then my nephew's like, oh, man, you know, I want to go. And, you know, if you're going to – he kind of liked Rabia from TJ, too, who's pretty good, bro. I told you about that. So I want to talk about
yeah.
that because that's coming up, too. So, you know, we'll get that in. But it's we got about 6 minutes, so go ahead, bro, till I got to take a break.
Well, you know, okay, take a break.
Well, no, I got 6 minutes, so – You want me to talk about about the camel fight, do you want me to talk about Sunday, Lucha Libre Alliance?
I want to know what Bruno Ram did, because this man's out of control. I think he needs to be sanctioned.
Well, first of all, he does. Super Kendo was there, and he comes, and he's got all his merchandise, and everybody's all happy, and blah blah blah, whatever. So they introduce Rudo Ram, who they're saying they're going to put him on the next show, blah blah blah, whatever. They just didn't have a chance to put up because, of course, paperwork. Getting over the border and all that, everything was too late. So this fool comes out with one of those kendo sticks and tries to do the moves, like spinning. It just total ass of himself. And then I guess he can't see because everything's all covered up and you don't have that peripheral vision. So when it came, he should have just slid out of the ring. But since he tried to take the steps, he missed that second step. He went right into a lady who was 505 years old. So I'm like, what a knucklehead. So they put him on a Spanish commentary while the title match was going on. Well, for the tags, it was Guyam and Jaguar de Oro against Maligno and Hades, which honestly, dude, it was a pretty good match. But dude, it was silent, bro. I mean, good lucha match, with a lot of moves, but it was just silent. And I guess he was like, dude, this sucks or whatever. And he just went in and whacked Guyam over the back with the cane. And the people went, what the heck is going on, man, or whatever. So he went to the back and they ended up going over, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, that's got to be it for him, especially because it was AJ Mana and Red Spider in the main event. So that,
right.
he's got to be gone because, first of all, AJ will kick his ass or whatever. So the match is going. They're going back and forth. AJ was putting Red Spider in upside-down flying triangles and all kinds of junk or whatever. So I don't know if that's what tipped it off or whatever, because people were just like kind of silent. You know what I mean? They would pop every once in a while especially for the chops, because those are two big dudes that were going at, so they popped for that, but it was kind of silent. So sure enough, man, here he comes out again.
Oh, no.
I guess he was going to crack AJ with the kendo stick, but of course, Guyam was right behind him. He was smart enough to slide in this time instead of going on steps and making a real ass out of himself. But he slid in, and when he went to go hit AJ with the cane, Guyam grabbed it from him. So Rudo Ram turns around. I thought he was going to hit Rudo Ram with the kendo stick, but he moved and just cracked AJ right in the head, dude. Right in the head. It looked like Sandman against Sabu. He went out the ring, and Red Spider covered him, and I thought, oh, dude, that's it. One, two, and AJ kicked out. So Rudo Ram, who runs about the speed of mud, came around the other side, and Guyam was right there. And, dude, this is no lie. On a straight shoot, he hit him like a redheaded stepchild. I counted six kendo shots to the back and one right in the back of the neck, dude. I thought he went face first or whatever. So Enigma comes out and Enigma Jr. came out and they pulled everybody apart, got him out there. And then AJ retained or whatever. But it was just, at first I was like, oh, this is pure comedy, man. But then after he cracked him, I'm like, oh, shoot, that didn't – because you can't fake that. You know what I mean? Even if you hit him with a little bit of force, it hurts. But he – when you hit somebody with a kendo stick and it loosens up or whatever, then you hit them hard. You know what I'm saying? So I guess the next one's going to be him and Guyam. I don't know if they're going to wrestle one-on-one or if they're going to wrestle in a tag match or whatever, but it popped the crowd. That's for sure. But everybody went home happy. So I guess that worked. So if that comes about or whatever, I'll probably go check that out too, because if you like straight lucha, it was pretty cool.
Oh, well, I'll go too, but let's get ready to get PJ on here so we can.
All right, let me.
We can talk after this interview. We're going to talk a whole lot about everything. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So let's take a quick break. Hold on a second. I gotta adjust here. I'll shoot PJ Black the number to tell him to go ahead and call that number, and we'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. I got him. He's almost hit the wrong button. Dude, that's what I'm talking about. I usually have a good Dusty Rhodes clip ready to go, but since I was so late today, I didn't get a chance to download anything, because you know when we could put the Dusty in, that pops everybody. But for the people listening, you're here, you're live at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget, you can check out www.blogtalkradio.com/Scoop Slam Radio. It's all one word, so make sure you put that in there. But Mike, special guest on the line with us right now, so go ahead and take it from here, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a one of the happiest times for Scoop Slam Radio. We have with us tonight former WWE superstar PJ Black. PJ, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me. What are you guys doing?
We're sitting here on this radio show having a blast talking pro wrestling, man. How you doing this evening?
Doing good. I was just at the beach. I always love talking pro wrestling. What are we talking about today? Anything specific or just whatever?
We're talking about the debacle that is WWE. But can I just, Mike, real quick and let PJ know, give him the two scenarios that where I got to talk to him?
Well, is that
cool, Mike?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, first of all, PJ, you've seen Michael Parks. He's like 6'5", and he's about four bills or whatever, so I got to ask permission for whatever. So, but I was telling him at the opening of the show, I don't know if you're a listener or not, but, you know, I'm old, dude. I'm an old man. I've been wrestling forever, still do some lucha shows, but it takes a lot to get me out of the house because I got a shoot job, you know, in the medical field. But it was a while back at the Wrestling Guy store, and it was PJ Black, it was Taya Valkyrie, Johnny Morrison, and that kid's name I was telling you that I forgot his name because he didn't show up till we left. What was his name again, Mike?
Jack Evans.
Jack Evans. Yeah, when they came to the Wrestling Guy store, so yeah, I said, man, that's a lineup and a half. I will make the time to go down there and go check it out. So we went down there, and it was almost because they were signing from 6 to 8. And it was about 20 till or so. So the line had kind of died down. I was like, okay, perfect. Found a parking spot. And we had so much fun because we were able to just kick back and talk to him. And I had my Mexican Superman tank top on. And PJ goes, I go, hey, man, it's a pleasure to meet you, man. He's like, he goes, where'd you get this tank top, bro? And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I had it made. And he goes, I really like it. I go, dude, do you want it? And he goes, yeah, man, I'll take it. And I go, what's the 2X? And he goes, so? And I was like, dude, please take it. So he took it, and that meant more to me than just going to go check him out or whatever there. But then, you know, fast forward to WrestleCon, and New Japan had just opened up their booth, so I went upstairs to go get some money because nobody takes cash anymore. You got to take your credit card, so I had to go get a credit card. And I come down, and I see him, hey, what's up, man? He goes, hey, what's going on? I go, you remember? He goes, you look familiar, bro. And I told him, I saw you at Wrestling Guy store or whatever. And he goes, yeah, bro. He goes, but you lost some weight, bro. He goes, you look good. And I'm like, damn, is there a tip jar or something? He No, man, I'm serious. So that was my two, you know, interactions with PJ. But the point I'm trying to make was both times really super cool, man. We got a chance to talk a little bit like Ring of Honor and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed it. And we were kind of talking about that before we came on the air, right, Mike, about how, you know, some of these SoCal guys who are independent wrestlers that are paying their dues, you know, they don't want to come on the show and get their name out there or whatever. But when you talk to PJ, he's like, yeah, bro, you know, let's do it. Let's talk some wrestling and whatever. So we appreciate you coming on, you know, for sure. And then when we have somebody like PJ Black on this show, you know, it legitimizes, you know, us as far as that goes. So I just wanted to get that in, PJ, man. We appreciate it. Mike, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Well, the funny thing is, as I was doing my homework, I was, you know, trying to look for a PJ Black match that I haven't seen, and I found one. And PJ, it was you about 9 months ago in America against Anisi. Anisi? Anansi, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I've ever seen pro wrestling in South Africa. And, dude, the crowd was popping for everything. Everything. I didn't know who was the face, who was the heel until midway through the match. Then I'm like, ah, okay. PJ's the heel here. Is it true that the guy that you were wrestling is like the John Cena of South African wrestling?
Yeah, but it goes so much deeper than that, too. You know, me and that kid started wrestling when we were 16. There's actually a photo somewhere when we were 8 years old. Both of us, during intermission, used to put on wrestling matches just for fun, you know, and it became a thing. People started watching, and we did it at all the wrestling shows. My dad was a wrestling promoter. Many people don't know that, but in the early 90s, in the 80s, South Africa was an unofficial territory, you know. Like, I grew up watching Andre, like, come over to the territory, and, like, Steve Regal, and, like, even Hogan came to job to our champion. You know, there was no internet back then. It was flourishing in the 80s and 90s. And then my dad became the promoter, and he died in 99, and it pretty much died. And, you know, there's a few companies here and there, and that kid I was wrestling, Anansi, he runs the wrestling school there, so he's a good friend of mine. He actually got signed by WWE three times, and all three times something happened. He broke his back, then something with his knee happened. He's really good and extremely talented. So, we had this new belt made for that show, and, you know, I'm always the baby face, and I was like, let's swerve them today. Let me play the heel halfway through, and people didn't expect that, you know. And it was cool. It was so much fun, you know. He's a lifelong friend of mine, and you know, now it legitimized him even more. So, you know, when I do go back there, you know, like, I have a little built-in feud with him.
Nice. And now, give us the aspect. What is the difference between pro wrestling here in the States and pro wrestling in South Africa? What you see,
you know,
is the difference.
Yeah, I mean, different styles, you know, like Japan has the strong style, and Mexico has the lucha libre, and the British has like their own style. You know, in South Africa, we didn't really have a style. So I watched a lot of tapes and combined all the styles together. And that seems to be what everyone's doing on the indies these days, right? Everyone kind of just combines everything together, which is cool. That's the evolution of pro wrestling. As far as the scene goes, there's a couple of companies and a couple of shows. It's not very regular. We're trying to build it back up. I'm actually trying to restart my dad's old company back up on television, WWE. We have a wrestling channel with WWE and AEW, Impact. All of it's on there. So it's actually the third biggest wrestling market in the world. And I didn't know this until the other day because my friend works for the TV studio. So we sat down, and he's a big wrestling fan, and he's a writer too. So we actually been trying to start something up there. We made some moves. I can't say too much about it right now, but it's going to happen very soon in the next year or so.
Can I ask a question, Mike?
Oh, man. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, because I'm old. You know what I mean? I pay probably about $200 a month in cable. You know what I mean? Because I got to have, like, New Japan on Access and stuff like that. So anything with apps, I got to get my – that's what you have kids for. I'm like, Jessica, can you get me this app or whatever? So the question I have for PJ is, like, if you're on TV, you just turn the channel, bam, and you're there, and you get massive exposure. But if you have to download an app or whatever, it just seems like it's more of a hassle, and you wouldn't get as much exposure through apps as you would a TV. Because you look at WWE, regardless of what anybody says, it is packed. You know, every time they show Raw or whatever. So, PJ, I mean, is that the way to? Am I just old? I mean, is apps the way to go? Because I prefer TV. And it seems like the wrestlers get a lot more exposure, because when Ring of Honor was on Bally Sports, dude, I used to look forward to Friday nights to check that out. That's when PJ was there and all that, and I preferred to watch it on TV because I just suck at doing apps. But, I mean, PJ, am I just an old man that's not in the 21st century, or do you prefer TV over apps?
Yeah, of course. I think anybody does, right? You don't want to put all the effort in and put an email and a password in, connect your VPN, all that stuff. You don't just want to switch on the TV and relax, you know? That makes sense. I think in the future, all those apps, I think already all the smart TVs has the apps built in, but I think in another 5 to 10 years from now, all those apps will run on our system anyway, and you'll be able to just press a button. I hope it goes back to that, you know? Like any technology that simplifies our lives gets adopted quickly, so I really believe that's going to happen. We're just in the beginning stages of this transition, but I definitely prefer the television.
Yeah, especially for an old man like me, but Mike, you know, somebody like PJ, who's well-rounded, doesn't have to worry about it, because, you know, when you can work in AAA and, you know, Mexico and wherever, Japan, Ring of Honor, he's well-rounded, so he gets the exposure, because I've seen him wrestle on in Mexico and stuff like that on the TV or whatever, so that's how I know a lot about PJ Black, so that's cool. But I'm gonna ask one question, PJ, I promise, and then I'm gonna give it back to Mike, because I don't want him to choke me out when I see him again. But when we have somebody like PJ, I gotta ask. You know, Mike and I go to a lot of independent shows to go check out talent and stuff, and that's how Mike says, man, if we put this guy with this guy, you know, he'd be awesome. So we went to Leonardo's a while back, and we saw Taya. She wrestled Fabi Apache at Leonardo's, and I'm like, dude, she was so. Well, both of them really were so far and above the SoCal girls. I mean, it was like women, and the other one were just girls or whatever. But I think she's probably the most underrated women wrestler that's going around today. I mean, she can work with anybody, and it just seems like to me AEW is not the fit for her. I mean, it just seems like, you know. And then when they sent her to WWE, they wanted to make her Monet or whatever, and you have to have a gimmick. But that's, Mike, I think you can agree with me, because you were at that match. I mean, that was probably one of the best women matches that we've ever seen. You kind of get that, PJ? You think she's underrated, or you think she just, you know, it just nobody can hang with
definitely.
Her?
Definitely. Yeah, you know, she's my homegirl, too, you know. She's one of my best friends, and Johnny's one of my best friends, too. So it's really cool that two of my best friends got married, you know. But she's super talented, unreal gifted. Yeah. You know, she lived in Mexico for a long time. That's where she trained, so she knows the style. She knows she's been in WWE, so she knows the showmanship involved. But she can wrestle any style. She can adapt to anything. She's a badass.
Yeah. Mike, would you agree, like guys like PJ, Taya, people like that, I'm kind of glad that they're not bogged down to something like WWE or NXT or whatever, because then we're able to see them against the talent that we want to see them against. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Just like that, like South Africa or whatever. To me, I think it's great that they're spreading their wings like that instead of being kind of bogged down in a certain company. Mike, would you agree, or am I just spinning wheels?
I would agree, but DJ, would you agree with that, that you have more control or make more say-so now because of being out there on the independent circuit that you're doing back home in South Africa? Do you feel it's better now because you have more control over your career? Or
yeah, exactly. It's like that in anything, you know. Like if you work for a big company, if you work for Google, say you're a programmer, you just have to follow their instructions, right? It's the same for a TV company. You kind of just follow their instructions, and a lot of guys are fine with that, and that's cool. You kind of just play the character, do what they tell you to do, say what they tell you to say, and that's fine, you know, for the paycheck, it's great, and the experience. But, like, a lot of us are like, artists, you know, like, we want to express ourselves. We want that creative freedom, and that's why I left. I started going on the indies, and, you know, like, I have so many things that I still want to do, and, you know, I have complete creative freedom. And, like, even in South Africa, my friend runs the company, you know, so we write the storylines ourselves, and I... You know, that creative freedom you won't get anywhere else if you're under contract.
Yeah, good
now,
point.
Speaking of that, is there, to me, and this is and Fabi and I talk about this a lot. Today in professional wrestling here in the States, there's not a lot of storylines being brought to the forefront. I think everything is like there's no I don't feel as though there the only storyline I see right now is like the Bloodline, and that's been a two year storyline. But you don't see programs where you allow people to become adversaries, rivals, people that you could talk about, like we talk about Dusty and Ric Flair or Dusty and Terry Funk. You don't have that, you know, and is that missing from pro wrestling, or is that the evolution of pro wrestling where we're getting away from that?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all storytellers, right? So we either tell a story in the ring with a match or if it's a slightly longer program. But, yeah, it has so much more substance when it's a longer program, when you can drag it out over a few weeks, months, or whatever, and lead up to that pay-per-view match. And I think WWE still has it, you know, but it's just, you know, the shows are so long and spaced out in between, like, and we all have TiVo, so we fast forward through some of the stuff, and we miss it. And we also live in an ADD generation, I feel like, you know, where if 1 second you're not entertained, you look down at your phone and you scroll through Twitter, so maybe you miss a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of variables to this. I think stories are still out there, but like WWE will focus only on the main few stories. So those are the ones that we talk about usually. But I think they're always there, and they need to be there, like, because that's what wrestling is about. We're storytellers, and that, it should be like a movie that plays out over a while, you know?
But Mike, you know, he brings up a good point, because when we were at WrestleCon and I was going live over there, they talked a lot about that the program that came out of the territories. You know, and they were talking about how, dude, they came on, Memphis kept it at an hour and a half, and they said it was just enough time for us to tell that story, and the people were just itching to see what happened next week, you know, or whatever. And although, you know, the curtain's been pulled back quite a bit, because I had a lot of old-timers on the podcast when I was at WrestleCon, like the Grappler and Honky Tonk Man and people, and that's the same thing they said, you know, of course, we're all old men. But they're like, yeah, you know, we would tell a story and people would be dying to see what's going to happen next week. So we would sell it out. And then when we would they said the same thing, Mike, the end of the world can't come every day. You can't have a big, huge Texas bull rope match every day. You build up to it. So then the people want to see somebody die. And that's what's the big draw is. So, I mean, I agree. It seems like, you know, it's more of a business now, and you got to kind of, you know, cater to the people and be politically correct, but back then there was no holds barred. And PJ, you think we can bring that back, or do you think in this day and age you got to stay a little PC?
You could probably bring it back if you don't have stockholders or sponsors to please or to piss off. But I mean, you're gonna have to run your own thing online, which is very possible with like stuff like Discord and Twitch and all that stuff these days.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't see that happening. If someone does it, it'll be short-lived. You know, like we live in this generation too, the Me Too generation, where everything gets shut down for not being PC and this and that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely doable if someone has the balls to do that. I think it'll get like an online cult following almost, like like ECW did back in the day. But it just takes a group of people to want to create that content and then take it from there.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I got to take a quick break. Can we just take a quick break for like 30 seconds, and we'll be right back?
PJ, can you stay around for 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just take 30 seconds so I can reset, and we'll be right back. Hang on, everybody.
Why, hello there. And
how about that? I was able to do it in 15 seconds. It's killing me because I usually have a good Dusty Rhodes thing to put in. The funniest one was Magnum TA, remember? Because the crowd screaming, he goes, look at him. He is just so pretty. Look at that Magnum T. He is just so pretty. There will never, I'm sorry, man, but there will never, ever in this life be anybody that's even close to Dusty Rhodes. That man was an effing genius, and I think far and away the best promo guy ever. He popped Mike and I a million times, and to this day, he still pops us with it. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
He does. PG, I wanted to piggyback on something that you said, because I want to always double back to the evolution of pro wrestling. Because I too, was at WrestleCon and had the pleasure of meeting Kevin Sullivan. And I was telling him about, I was wearing a T-shirt with our company on it. And he was like, well, what is this? Tell me about this. And I was telling him about the company and what our mission is. And our mission is to be old school, but yet hybrid in being able to blend all styles together and do a lot of storytelling. And he said something that kind of caught me off guard. He was like, well, do you see any dinosaurs walking around L.A.? And at first I was like, huh? He was like, do you see dinosaurs walking around L.A.? I said, no. I said, because they're gone. He says, yeah, because we have evolved. He said, so has the business, kid. He says, you got to find a way to install your old school, but blend it with what the kids are doing today. Because to me, pro wrestling has almost evolved into high spots. And it's, yes, it's cool, but then I have to think about the performers. You're not going to be able to do this all your life because Father Time, he has the last say so. And when your body breaks down, then what do you have to fall back on? You know what I mean? So, you know, what am I being too harsh on today's pro wrestling when I say that, or, you know, give me your opinion on that, DJ.
Yeah, so in wrestling, it has evolved, and you can't kind of have to adapt with the times and keep going. But Dr. Tom Pritchard used to say this all the time: what's old is new, and what's new is old. Times are just like replayed or revamped. You know, there's not a lot of things that are new. As far as the style goes, yes, it's become a lot more spotty, but we're still storytellers, right? So that's how you can see a good match versus just a decent match and something that's memorable. If it has a good story played out, you can do all the high spots you want because that's just like graphics in a movie, right? But the movie still has to have a good base, a good foundation, a good story for you to get invested because that's what we do, right? We try to take people on an emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Sure, you'll clap for the spots, that's great, but if you can make it make sense and put it in that story, then it means so much more and the kid will go home and remember that, you know, like instead of remembering the spots. It's I think that there's a market for everything, so I don't think we don't have to evolve with it if you don't want to. I've wrestled many, many, many old school carny matches, old school matches in Germany, and people, you know, and then you incorporate a little bit of the new stuff in there, that's great, but like there'll always be a market for that. I think for us who have been watching wrestling our whole lives, we become really nostalgic when we see the old school stuff. So why not? You know, there's a lot of people our age who watch wrestling. So, and why don't we educate the new kids? You know, Dr. Tom used to say that all the time. What's old is new and what's new is old. And when we were in developmental, WWE developmental, he used to make us study like the old tapes and get bits and pieces from there. And I still use a lot of that. You know, people go to me all the time like, wow, what did you think of that? That was so unique. I'm like, I saw it from the 60s or 70s, you know? there's a lot of stuff that people completely forgotten about, and it's so simple. And it's usually the simplest thing, you know? People can go crazy. I'll give you guys an example. I wrestled bar wrestling in L.A., and, you know, that was super fun and super spotty. And it was me and Willie Mack in the main event, and all the kids in front of us just did every single high spot you can imagine. And we're like, oh, well, what are we going to do? And we're like, let's work this old school match. You know, we'll call it in the ring. We'll just have fun. We'll just, you know, like shit that people haven't seen, like old school, a hip toss, a bat, body drop, but we put it in such good positions that the people went crazy. So I definitely think there's still a market for that kind of stuff, and if done right, it's you can't compete with that. Like the new style is cool. You can see all the spots. Tell you an old school, have an old school match story, and just have one or two of those high spots. I mean, come on, that's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah,
right, Mike.
That makes sense, man. Because you and I talk about that all the time. Sorry, Mike, because we're running up against the clock. But the thing I wanted to ask PJ, because this is what happens to me. I mean, I'm an old man, and I still wrestle some shows here and there. But if they put me against a young guy, he only had 3 matches. Okay, so I said, look, man. You know, there's not that many people here. They'll pop for a hip toss. I'm going to go ahead and call it in the ring. I'm going to see how they react, and we'll go from there. You should have seen the look in his eyes. He's like, what? You know, because they're so used to like, okay, we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, we're going to do this, or whatever. But I was telling Mike, when I was wrestling for Martin and WPW, Christopher Daniels and Mike Modest had a match. And Christopher Daniels was the face, and Mike Modest was the heel. But the crowd turned so much that Daniels switched it at mid-match. He goes, dude, these people hate me. I'm going to go ahead and put you over because I want to send these people home happy. And that was like, in my mind, I thought, this guy's a freaking genius, bro, or whatever. But that's kind of like what I'm talking about. You still see that today? Like, if this crowd's going wild for this, let's switch it up. But that's kind of like what you're talking about with you and Willie Mack, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you won't see that often these days unless it's someone who's been in the business for a long time, like me, Christopher Daniels. There's a lot of guys that can do that. A lot of guys, they don't teach that anymore at school. That's the problem. So it's becoming a lost art. So whenever I teach seminars, I actually teach that skill. And it's not a hard skill to have, you know, the calling matches in the ring. You should definitely challenge yourself if you're an indie wrestler and do that every once in a while. I do the same thing, by the way. Like, I'll go to these places and I'll just tell the kid, I was like, oh, I'll see you in the ring, kid. Give me 3 moves to do or whatever. And they all come back amazed because, you know, we've all been watching wrestling. And if you just listen to an old vet, that's why I like being the heel, because I can kind of control the pace. And a lot of my stuff is improv. People don't know that. I can do all the high spots and I remember some stuff here and there. But most of my stuff, I just kind of figure out in the ring, you know. And these kids, these young kids are amazed that the match actually made sense. And, like, people pop when they needed to. But, I mean, I try to teach that all the time, but it's really sad that it's becoming a lost art because, you know, the kids just want to choreograph everything. And that's my next calling. I feel like I'm going to open a bunch of wrestling schools and teach the old school way. You know, you don't have to do it. You don't have to, but it's good to know. Like, because every one of these kids that I taught that later in life, they've been like, wow, man, that was a skill I never thought I'd use, but it came in so handy. And that's kind of cool. You know, maybe they can pass it down to a generation and that skill won't get lost forever.
Yeah, that makes a good point. 4 minutes, Mike. I'm sorry.
I got you. Well, speaking of wrestling, where are you wrestling at now, PJ? What are you doing as in wrestling right now?
I take independent bookings and I go to places that I want to go. You know, I just got back from – I was in Australia for a whole month, and then I had to fly to Jamaica for a show. It took me 5 flights to get there. Came back to LA for one day, flew to Dubai, guitar. I did a bunch of student shows over there, which was awesome. And then I go to Jamaica again next weekend. Jamaica was awesome because they haven't had wrestling there in like 50 years. So the crowd is so hot and responsive and you can play around. And I told the guys, I was like, yo, these spots are cool, but just wrestle old school style. And it worked. And we're going back next week and we'll probably sell it out.
Wait a minute. There's pro wrestling in Jamaica, PJ?
There's pro wrestling everywhere. WWE is translated in 116 countries, and all 116 countries have wrestling. I've wrestled in 66 countries myself, and this is what I like about the independents, because I can just take bookings of places I want to go to. There's wrestling in places you can never even imagine. Like, I've been to Barcelona, I've been to Belgium, I've been to Chile. Places that you won't think is wrestling, and there's wrestling everywhere. Like I'm a full-time, I teach seminars pretty much every weekend somewhere else in the world. There's wrestling everywhere. Like even places like Mid-Africa, Congo, DRC, Nigeria, Kenya, all these places have wrestling, and wrestling is a universal language, and that's why I like traveling and, you know, having matches that I've never had before, working people that you think won't be able to put a match together, but we make magic somehow, you know. And obviously
that's awesome.
Thing, but
yeah, that's
wow.
Mike, Just let me say this to PJ. I know I'm running up against that. I don't want Mike to beat me up. But, PJ, although I'm an old man, I still work out every day, and I'm still in pretty good shape. So if you need somebody to carry the bags, bro, I'm your man. All right, just let me know. Go ahead, Mike.
Got it. You got it. I actually saw that tank top you gave me years ago. I found it when I was moving, and I was like, it had so many stains and dirt on from the gym, I had to let it go. But I found it the other day, and I was like, I thought about that day, and I was like, no way. What are the odds of that?
Next time I see you, I'm bringing you a fresh one, for sure.
Well, speaking
I appreciate
of that
brother.
Yeah.
DJ, we're having our show February 10th. So if you are in town, we are cordially inviting you down to our show February 10th at the Metroflex Gym in Hawaiian Gardens, California. If you're here, man, come on down. Come check us out. And just come see what we got going on, bro.
Does PJ live in L.A.?
Send me the details. I'm in L.A. Send me the details. I travel a lot, so I'm hardly ever here. I'm leaving for 3 months on the road, and I was supposed to leave December, but I got to go to the Royal Rumble. I think it's in St. Pete in February, so I got to go.
Yeah.
Because I run my own shows, too, so we have a couple of shows that we run there. Send me the details. I'd love to come check it out.
Well, Mike,
we'll make a
whole day of it. We will pick you up. We'll go to Venice. We'll go to Gold's Gym in Venice. Work out there. Go to the Fireman's, the Firehouse Cafe. Get the bodybuilder's breakfast. Walk Venice Beach, and then we'll make a whole day of it, PJ man, for sure.
Just if I can fit it in my schedule, you guys are on.
Beautiful.
Okay.
I'm totally down.
Where can the fans catch up to you? Where can they see you on social media, PJ?
Mostly Instagram, PJ450. I'm pretty active on there these days. I try to just keep up with the one instead of all thousands of social media. It's just too much for me to upkeep, so I just kind of post everything on Instagram.
Hey, well, you know what? We truly appreciate you taking the time out tonight to come on the show and to just talk wrestling with us, man. Much love to you. God bless you. Continue to do what you do. Continue to show the love that you and passion that you have for the sport. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Darryl Wolf, PJ Black. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, PJ.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. It's always good to talk wrestling. I love it. You know, like usually I do like two or three podcasts a week, you know, and I do them because I like them, because people ask different questions and we talk about wrestling or whatever. Lately it's been very the same, so this has been very different for me. Thank you guys so much.
We appreciate it. Hey, I'm following him now on Instagram for sure. So PJ Black, everybody, make sure you check out PJ450. Follow him on Instagram. Hopefully we'll get him out here real soon. Thanks, PJ. We'll be back after this.
Soundstripe. Soundstripe. Soundstripe.
I usually put a Dusty Rhodes thing in here, but I'm not able to. So what's the one that he says? I'll make your back crack. I'll make your liver quiver. And while the other wrestlers are back there joking,
checking
cracking and joking, yeah, I'll be out here cooking and smoking, Daddy. Hey, that was pretty cool, man, to have PJ Black on here. And it's good, Mike, to have people like that on here so that they could talk about that. Like, hey, man, a lot of times I just want to go in there and go call it in the ring and see how the crowd is feeling, you know, and to me, Mike, that's the goal. You either want to send them home happy or you want them to come back to see somebody get killed. You know what I mean? So when somebody like PJ Black kind of endorses that, it just makes sense, right?
Yeah, that shows you the leadership that a veteran can bring to a locker room if these young Thundercats will allow it to happen.
Yeah.
If they could put their pride aside, oh, I don't need to talk. I don't need to listen to this old man. Listen to the old man.
Yeah,
because
just open your mind.
And as you like to say, shut your mouth, open your eyes, and open your ears.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. and just listen.
Yeah. But it's –
for God's sake, just listen.
It's true, because when I say that, I'm like, hey, man, because I don't want – if we go over a bunch of spots and I miss one, it's just going to be botch mania and everybody's going to go, oh, my God. You know what I mean? So if you keep it simple,
yeah. You
know, you tell a story and the people go, dude, or let's say, man, this guy's crazy, man. I want to see what he's going to do next. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring a couple friends. Hey, but you got to see this guy. I mean, it's just ridiculous or whatever, you know, something like that. But, you know,
and see, that's why. That's why I told a certain wrestler, hey, here's your homework. Go home, and I don't care what match it is, find a Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair match, and just watch it.
Yep.
Just watch the match. Watch what they do in the ring.
Or just –
And
dude,
you'll see how a wrestling match should go.
When I bought the DVD of Superstar Billy Graham, you know, and they go through his life story, but then they have all these matches that they had, and they show him and Dusty Rhodes in Madison Square Garden, and it is freaking packed, and the people were just going nuts, you know. And when you can sell out Madison Square Garden, I think they did it 9 times or whatever, with no internet and very little TV. I mean, that's an accomplishment, bro. I mean, and it's funny because you hear him and he goes, I thought, dude, this is it. You know, we had this match and it sold out, and, you know, and Dusty came up to him and said, bro, I think we could pack this place one more time. He said, what? And he goes, we'll have a Texas bull rope match. And he said, and by God, that place was packed. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no substitute for that. Go ahead.
No, and you know what's funny is this is back when it was still territories.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince McMahon Sr. and Eddie Graham were such good friends that Eddie called Vince Sr. and said, hey, I got to get Dusty out of here a little bit because he's becoming a little bit stale because he's always here.
Yeah.
Can I send them to you?
Mm-hmm.
I want people to get a glimpse of the first match they had at Madison Square Garden,
mm-hmm.
and the pop from that back then. I think Madison Square Garden held close to 25,000 people.
Yeah,
the pop that those two brought to that arena that night. I mean, you could barely hear anything when they walked to the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, to me, that was magical.
And Dusty,
I'm like, oh, I wish I... Yeah.
And Dusty said, you know, we would finish the match. I'd go to the back. I'd take a shower. I'd get dressed because we're going to go have a beer or whatever. I'd look back out there. The place was still packed. He goes, they didn't even want to go home. He goes, I guess they were waiting for like the Vince Lombardi trophy to come off. But they didn't want to go home. They wanted to, you know, stay in the atmosphere or whatever. But, you know, it just kept going. I mean, I know the curtains pulled back, but then you go something like when Sergeant Slaughter and Iron Sheik were going at it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean, that
man.
Place was just packed, and they wanted to see Iron Sheik die. And I watched his documentary, and he said, dude, they had to put me in an ambulance and get me out of there, you know, because people just wanted to kill me. And they called the offices of WWE and said, if we see him, we're going to shoot him on sight, you know. So that's crazy, and that's a heck of a draw. So, Mike, this is what leads me to why I have such a love-hate relationship with WWE. Did you watch Raw last night at all? I mean, you know how I go, I ain't watching it no more, but I got to be honest. I was definitely watching the Cowboys and the Chargers, but I knew when they put Jonas against Gunther that was going to be a match. So I said, I definitely want to see that match. And did you get to see it, Mike?
I got to be honest with you, bro. I was so tired. I was asleep before 7:30.
Oh, dude, they put on a show. Let me ask you this. Why wouldn't they use Jonah for he's not Jonah now. What is he out there? He's something else. He was Jonah when he was in New Japan, but I forget what his name I can't remember.
Bronson?
But you know who Bronson. He splashes when he hit him with the splash. I thought, dude, that is Jimmy Snuka 10 times over. And it seems like if I was there, I would tell, if I was Jay Uso, I'd go, hey, you know what? Let's bring in Jonah. Let's bring in Jonah as my you know, partner or whatever, because that dude can go. And I had that glimmer of hope because the people popped for him, dude. I mean, he put it on Gunther big time. And when he hit him with that splash, if they would have got that three count, it would have been Madison Square Garden all over again, brother. Let me tell you. But I knew it wasn't going to happen. I knew. And then Gunther hit him with a half sleeper and then a clothesline from hell, and that was it. But I was like, dude, if they would have let him go over, man, that place would have just erupted. And it just cannot happen, dude. Tell me what. You give me a serious reason why they keep putting that dude over. He's good. I mean, I'll give it to him. He's a big dude. But if they would have put Chad Gable over, dude, people would. It is like the ultimate underdog story. He went over, and then when he went against Bronson Reed, that's who he is, Bronson Reed. The people would have went nuts. I mean, when he splashed, I thought he killed him because you know how they splash, dude, and that's a big dude.
Yeah.
And they just will not let it happen. Please explain to me why.
Well, how do you know they're not building it up for Chad to finally go over at a major pay-per-view?
They've been saying that for 40 years. And why would they put him against Jonah? You know, I mean, make him look strong. But we all know who – that's one of those matches that what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I'll put – like Chris Benoit, I'll put you over. But the people are going to go, dude, that was the star of that match. You know what I mean? It's that same type of scenario or whatever. But, dude, the dude's paid his dues. He went over on Okada. You know what I mean? He's proven himself. I don't know why you wouldn't. And the people wanted it. You can tell. It was Chris Daniels, Mike Modest all over again. So I'm thinking, why would you send the people home happy? I mean, is that what it's geared towards, Mike? Like saying, okay, we're building him up big time strong so that he could lose the belt at WrestleMania or something?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, let's look at big picture here. What kind of heavyweight champion do you think Gunther would make if they ever put the strap on him?
I don't know. I wouldn't, me personally, I wouldn't put the belt on him because although a good wrestler, the personality's not there. It's just not. I mean, you put him up against Dusty Rhodes in his prime and Dusty Rhodes would make that kid look like a fool, you know, because he's just, when Dusty puts his hands behind his back, you know, and he goes, ooh, you in a world of trouble now. The people just go nuts. Gunther will just hit you with the solid brick chop, and that's it.
You say that's it, but that's one of his trademarks.
Ugh.
Everybody knows when he slaps you, he's slapping spit out your mouth. He's trying to knock wax out your ears. You know what I mean? And his opponents always sell it that way.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're selling it. I think that, man. Like, the dude that's down in NXT now, what's his name? The Russian, that he and Gunther had a hell of a match for the NXT Euro Championship.
Oh, the little small dude with the blonde hair combed back. I don't know, Darso something or other.
Dude,
Sergeant Darso and Nikita Koloff and Ivan. I don't know.
Yeah,
but dude.
Let him go up there and wrestle him.
I'm sorry, bro. I don't get it. I think, what is he? Superman? Who is he? Darby Allin? Darby Allin has been put through a meat grinder and just keeps coming. I'm like, dude, they threw him on the steps, but not on the top. of the steps, on the edge of the steps, and he still keeps coming back. It's like, dude, what is he, Superman? I mean, come on, dude.
His body's fine, bro.
Huh?
His body's,
what are they doing?
Tell him, no, we get.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Huh?
It's just a matter of time until that dude, something happens and he's going to end up in a wheelchair. You know? I mean, I get it.
Now,
when you're that small, you need to do stuff like that. But come on, man.
Now, have you heard the two rumors out there? Well, one isn't a rumor. Did I tell you about Billy Corgan trying to bring back the territories?
Yes. Will never happen.
Okay. it might, but then I told you that's what I've always wanted,
mm-hmm.
because that would help bridge a gap in pro wrestling around the country where you could intermingle and pull other people to let the people in California see what's going on in North Carolina or Arizona going down to Florida, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Second one is tomorrow night, Sting is supposed to announce his retirement from pro wrestling.
Uh huh.
What do you mean?
Okay. You know, dude, when we were working at the forum and WCW was in town, I felt so, the two times, both times that they were in town, it was him and I were the last people to leave the building. And he was so hot because, you know, the Steiner brothers are supposed to go up to the club and sign autographs for the kids, and they left. So I heard him telling Jim Crockett, he goes, dude, this is the last time I'm doing this. He goes, that happens all the time, and I'm tired of it. So he was the face that had to go up there, you know, and do stuff like that. But long overdue, bro. Even like I see John Cena, and I'm like, man, you know, either turn him heel or let him go, because he just, you know, he's off the sauce, so he's not as big as he was, and he kind of let the hair grow out, and he's got a big bald spot in the back and stuff like that. So it seems like the fighters, you want to leave with that good record and not take that last fight where you get pummeled by a younger guy or something like that. So, you know, I mean, I don't have a lot of room to talk because I could barely move and I'm still doing matches, but you know, it's just how it goes, man. I mean, that's just it. But I guess because you and I have a certain passion, you know, for the sport, that you just want to kind of see these new crop of fans. I would just like them to see what it could be. You know, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
The second match at Lucha Libre Alliance was Cali, Daryl, and Rickster in a three-way. And Rickster, regardless of who he's wrestling, he reminds me a lot of a little Pero Aguayo Jr. You know, he comes out hot. He comes out 100 miles an hour, and he's just going, bro. And he's kicking you, boom, and then he's moving, and then he stomps you. And it was just back and forth, boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? And I'm like, see, that's what I'm talking about. He kind of reminds me of that old school mentality, like a baby Bruiser Brody who's just not that big, but it's just a bundle of energy, you know. Why
yeah.
they put him against Daryl and Kelly, I don't know. But you know, if you can find the right opponent for him, you know, he can go. He can make the people want to see him come back. That's the point I'm trying to make. I mean, would you agree? You booked him.
Yeah, I mean, when we had him against Legacy.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
a good match. That was a
yep.
very good match.
Yeah, you got a good guess, partner.
You know, yeah, we did it. We did it because we wanted to see a different side of Richter.
Yeah.
Against somebody like Legacy. And
yeah.
Dude, I mean, he did it.
Well,
he,
I don't
he
know.
Himself.
You know, I saw Billy Bonds at the Lucha Libre Alliance show, and I told him, I said, you know, I see you put Rickster and AJ, you know, as a tag team. I said, but the other two guys I'm not familiar with or whatever. He said, oh, come down, dude. I think that's going to be a good match or whatever. So I'm like, I might have to go check that match out just because it's different. You know what I mean? So I kind of want to see what happens or whatever. But that to me, that's the key, you know, different. Well, what if they put this guy against this guy? Oh, well, let's go check it out. We'll see what happens, you know? So I think that's kind of like, you know, what's the go-getter or whatever that they'll do. Just like Rudo Ram acting a total ass and getting caned times or whatever. So now I want to see what happens or whatever. But it's okay. Well, let me, since we're running up against the clock, let me just end it with that question. I mean, do you think that's the key? You know what I'm saying, Mike? How we put this person with this person. It's a good dance partner, and it wants the people coming back for more. I mean, to me, it seems like that would be the hook. I mean, would you agree, or you think you're trying to bring back like the old school territory type where we tell a story and want them to come back for more, or build it up so we have the big end of the world like a cage match or something? What's the main goal for PWA?
I would like to be able to tell stories, whether it be the heavies, the light heavies, the women, the tag teams. I want people to be involved in the matches. I want to bring back the same passion, or try to emulate the passion that, say, the fans from Memphis had.
Yeah,
Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman.
That's the bar, bro.
Because again, we sound very old school and we sound very like cranky old men. But if you're true wrestling fan, to go back and watch some of the angles and programs from the old school, from Florida, from Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the Carolina, from Georgia, Mid-South, because then you'll see why that world class, why you can get 42,000 at Texas Stadium when there was no internet.
Well,
you know,
if you can go to Book Off where they have the used DVDs and all that, you could probably find quite a bit, because that's where I found my Superstar Billy Graham DVD. I don't know if people still use DVDs, but I got the one with Bret Hart against Davey Boy Smith at SummerSlam, and I'm like, dude, that was just, you know, such a hard-hitting storyline, as he's married to his sister, and it was just really cool, man. I mean, I know it's old, but it's really cool. But anyways, Mike, so much going on. I know this week is a little crazy. Maybe a Saturday or something like that, we could meet just for an hour so I could keep you updated on what's happening, because a lot of stuff that you know, you and I've been talking about is, you know, starting to come to fruition as far as like people saying, yeah, dude, that's a good idea. So I look forward to that. A huge thanks, you know, for you being able to get PJ Black on here so we can get his views and, you know, kind of legitimize what we're talking about. But with that being said, Mike, give us a few last words so we can get the heck out of here.
Well, you know, again, We really appreciate PJ Black taking time out of his schedule, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you heard he's on the move constantly. And for him to take, what was it, 35 minutes of his time?
It sure was.
To just sit here and talk with us was awesome. But let me tell you about next week. Because next week, Fabi, we'll have probably one of the hardest working men in lucha and pro wrestling. He's a PWA top 500 wrestler that we had wrestle for us. And he's wrestling all over SoCal, all over Mexico. It's the big Vito Cartelli. Will be on Screw Slam Radio next Tuesday night. So everybody, get here next week, 7 p.m., so we could talk to Big Vito and talk to him about everything that's going on in his crazy life with all the travel and all the accolades he's getting with the pro wrestling that he's doing. So I'm
that's
excited
cool.
about that. So what about you, Fabi?
Yeah, I am. We'll tell him just like this here. Watch.
And if you want a real man, you know what I'm talking about, Texas size, if you will. The Dusty Rhodes, if not a dream, just might take some time for that brown sugar.
For that brown sugar.
I'm telling you, man, there was nobody like that man. I'm telling you. But, yeah, man, that's be cool to give you, because he does. He's got a lot of work, bro. When you can work the Crash one day and AAA the next weekend and stuff like that, man, you're moving and shaking, man. But all right, Mike, I appreciate it, man. I see we're starting to move forward and starting to get some things together. So we'll see everybody back here next Tuesday. I hope to be here. I got so much going on, but if not, I have full confidence that Michael Parks will be able to handle everything. I was going to say, hopefully Michael Parks will be able to handle it, but. All right, so go. We'll go. Wait a minute. Fabi's not going to be with you? we got to get out of here, but let me end it with this. We got to go back to Local Grind because I went and they had some funky music on. I can't remember what it was. And I told the two guys they're working. I said, look, man, if the young girl's not here, they told me her name too. As soon as I said that, she goes, the place disco. I said, yeah. I go, I'm going to put a couple dollars in your tip jar. I go, so if we come back, can you put the disco? They're like, absolutely, bro. So next meeting, you come back here, we'll put whatever you want on. And I was like, can you pull up to my bumper, baby? They looked at each other like, what the hell is he talking about? So, but the last time she put on Roller Coaster. She put on Fire. Doom, doom, doom. And I was like, dude, we could hardly get the meeting, you know, because you and I would stop every time. Dude, it is. It
just
sure
stared
is.
Each other. Like,
yeah. So,
like, I know she's not playing this.
Yeah, we'll definitely get together, have a meeting over there, start putting a few more things together or whatever. And it's kind of good that, you know, the show's not till February. So, you know, because we want that best show, you know, to be what it is or whatever. So, all right, Mike, I will see you, you know, soon. Hopefully this week I'll keep you posted. And because I got some good news, bro. I got some good stuff going on. So we'll definitely be able to put that together. So, all right, my man.
Hey, man, let's keep things in motion. Let's do what we got to do, man.
Yeah, no doubt. All right,
appreciate
everybody.
You.
We'll see all of you all next Tuesday. Check us out on Blog Talk. All right, Mike.
All right.